90210ONG with Jenny Garth and Tori Spelling.
Hello, hello, everybody.
It's us. We're back. Your favorite Galentine's.
Another 90210ONG.
I know. And Valentine's Day just happened.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Kiss. Oh my gosh. But the good news is that even though we just had Valentine's Day, we didn't get our Galentine's Day, but we're getting it on Wednesday.
Oh my gosh. I'm so excited for our live virtual Galentine's event.
It is our first ever virtual podcast, you guys. Galentine's Day, but well, boys welcome too. So we're including everyone. Look, you guys, I have my merch on.
You have your merch on.
Yeah, you're festive.
I love it.
It looks great.
My hearts aren't lined up like yours were on my boobs, though.
There you go.
Okay.
Just shimmy it over just a little.
Just a typical day, always having to adjust them. I know. So you guys, so we're having our very first virtual event this Wednesday, February 17th, and tickets are still available. VIP is sold out, but general admission is available. So what are you waiting for?
Get your tickets at onlocationlive.com/90210OMG. And don't forget that a portion of the proceeds from the live event will go to a great organization called Save Our Stages.
Mm-hmm. And we have a guest. We have a very special guest at our virtual event, Ms.
Debbie Gibson.
Yeah. The crowd goes crazy.
I mean, talk about 80s and 90s, right? She was like huge when our show was on.
Oh my gosh. Have you seen what she looks like? She just turned 50 and she looks, yes. She just turned 50.
Possible?
She's putting it out there and she looks unbelievable.
Incredible.
I follow her Instagram. She's such a kind woman. And I wonder if we can talk her into singing like a little song for us.
Maybe she'll make up a little ditty for us.
I wish she would. Because she's actually, if you know the show well, she is not in the episode East Side Story that we're going to be watching. So make sure you do your homework and watch before we do the virtual event on Wednesday. You will see a guest appearance by Debbie Gibson.
And then you'll get to see her on our event.
So I'm so excited.
Very exciting for all of us.
Maybe she'll sing, you get our merch. Our merch is still up on. Yeah. You can go to our podcast. You can go to our Instagram, 90210 OMG podcast, and get our merch to wear. We have a t-shirt, two sweatshirts, really cute stuff. Wear it with us.
You're a good salesman.
Yeah. What else?
I want to buy it and I already have it.
What is it? I don't want it. I want it. I want that Dr. Pepper.
I've got this diet Dr. Pepper. I've got this pair of glasses.
I like those glasses. So we did you guys watch this episode? Say yes.
Of course.
Yes.
Of course. This was Slumber Party, written by the one and only Darren Star, the creator of our show. And It was aired on January 31st, 1991. Tori, do you want to give a little synopsis?
And the synopsis is, you guys, Kelly's friend brings an attitude to Brenda's girls' night in. Meanwhile, Steve and Brandon walk a lonely road on a night out with two unpredictable women. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go on record and say, out of all 10 years, this is one of the most memorable episodes of all time, Slumber Party. Do you agree?
I do. I feel like this was the episode where we really got to see the core cast like kind of unite.
Aww.
And come together. Even though we weren't all together in one place, it was the first time it just felt like all the parts were glued together well. Does that make sense?
It does. It was. It was the first time that it was like a quiet moment. There wasn't like so many scenes. It all took place basically the girls' storyline at the slumber party. And it was very dramatic. And well, we're going to go through the episode. But this is where you impressed me so much as an actor. And I was like, oh, my gosh, I am grateful to be working alongside her.
Oh, it was fun. I just loved seeing all the female bonding, just all the girls. I love seeing all four girls, not just the three of us, but Gab was there too. And that made me so happy because it was kind of rare that we got to do scenes with four girls. They would kind of make it just either two or the three of us. And then Gabrielle would be kind of doing her newspaper thing or doing something with Brandon. So I thought it was really cool that she was in all of this. And she added so much to it, so much like texture. And oh, man.
Why did they make Andrea's pajamas
looks so grandma-y. Like,
you're going to kick off with that. Okay. I was like getting some serious Anne with an E vibes from her, or I don't know, Little House on the Prairie. What the heck?
And even with her granny hammies, long flannel. Like, I'm like, okay, you two, like Kelly and Donna had the cutest pajamas. Like, I would actually wear those now in 2021.
Me too. Yeah,
I would wear everything but Gaps. I don't think I could pull that off. And it was like buttoned up to here, so nobody could see it.
It sure set the stage for the character, though.
It really did.
What she wears at night. Yeah.
Of course she wears that. Of course Andrea Zuckerman wears her nighty, her granny nighty like that. But the dancing at the slumber party.
Do you remember doing that?
I do. And I remember cringing then as we were doing it. And now watching it, I was doubly cringing, going, oh my God, I can't believe it's going on so long. Why are they still dancing?
It was very long.
I remember thinking in that moment, wow, I get paid to miss high school and come here and dance and eat ice cream and popcorn and hang out with my friends.
that was a good one day of those scenes. In your pajamas.
Yeah, good day. In my pajamas. Good
what
day.
Song was better. That? Do you guys remember?
Was it Billy Idol?
Obviously was dubbed over for streaming. Oh, what
I think it was Dancing with Myself. And if I had
really?
I think originally it was. I might be pulling that out of a memory that doesn't exist because it was 30 years ago. Well, but I'm sure we could Google that.
I mean, that whatever they put on Hulu for it to go with did not really sync well with our dance moves. I'm just going to say.
I'm pretty sure it was that. Wouldn't that be cool if Billy I actually Idol. Remembered that? That was Billy Idol, right? Dancing.
I like that.
Okay.
Dancing with Myself or My Girls.
There you
and
go.
And who decided to bring Miss Nudie Pants along? Jeez. Talk about rude. Amanda?
A buzzkill.
Amanda. Played by Michelle Abrams.
So mean. And they wrote her so vicious and mean.
Yeah, but then you come around at the end of the episode for her. But I'm with you. Yeah. I like wanted her, like, why didn't she leave the entire time? And then at the very end, I was like, oh.
Right. If she hated it, leave.
I know. Why'd she stick around?
She had a free night. She could have gone and done something else. Do you remember working with her?
I do.
What do you remember about her?
I remember really liking her. I remember liking her whole vibe. And I remember she was actually really nervous. And that was a hard character to just come in into that group of girls and start, you know, dissing everybody. So she had to like muster up the confidence to play that role. And I don't think it wasn't like, she's not like that in real life, you know? So what do you remember?
Interesting. I don't have many memories. I remember her being quiet that I think I probably misinterpreted as, oh, she didn't like me. But now you're saying she was nervous and that's why she was quiet. And I'm like, that makes sense. But my 6-year-old self was like, oh, she didn't like me.
I just remember her being, really nervous and wanting to do a good job.
She's really cute. Good style. Very 90s.
I know. She's really pretty girl.
I feel like she had auditioned for one of the main cast members. Something
she could have been Kelly. She could have definitely been Kelly.
No one could have been Kelly.
I'm like, that sounds so weird straight. To say, even coming from you of all people.
She could have been me. I like it.
We could rewrite history, take you out of it. Would that make you happy?
Yeah, no. I like my history just fine.
Why did they make the slumber party sound so lame? Like, I think like slumber parties in high school were still cool when I was in high school. Was that just like a Beverly Hills thing or?
I feel like for me, it was junior high when it was slumber parties. Maybe it was just because, high school. I don't know. Maybe they thought they were too cool for it.
Did you have slumber parties? Yeah. High school? Okay. So very few because little known fact, I was really scared of sleeping out. I was like terrified. So I didn't go to many sleepovers. Yeah. But I feel like people still did them. But nowadays, it's like kids do so. Even then, like, look at the parties. Look at the party at Marianne Moore's. Like, why? When you can have parties like that at that age, why do a simple sleepover, you know? Mm-hmm.
But yeah. I loved it. Like I thought it was girl, like a girly party, and you get to be silly. Like they got to be silly. They got to pig out, as they called it, which I really loved hearing people say pig out. And I don't know, it just like felt like fun. No boys allowed.
No. Did you like Donna's favorite food? That has been forever. People come up to me all the time and say, I eat ice cream and popcorn because of you. I'm like,
was that you? Yikes. Was that like Tori's snack idea? Or did they say,
no,
you have to eat ice cream?
That was written in the script. And I remember thinking like, that's weird. But I didn't feel like I was entitled to change it or say anything. That's
maybe
so I did
Darren,
it.
Must be Darren Star's favorite snack.
Like some like weird concoction. But people to this day still eat popcorn and ice cream because of that. So good for them.
I think it would be good. I'm willing to give that a try.
Will you? At our virtual event?
Well, you know, I like to put
popcorn and ice cream.
You know, I like to put salt on my ice cream. So
she likes to put salt on everything, you guys. Let's be clear.
Oh, yeah. Shake, shake, shake. Shake your salt.
It could have been, that could have been, what is Ben and Jerry's? That could have been a Ben and Jerry's 90s ice cream, popcorn.
They put salt in ice cream. Like salt and straw. Yeah. They have like a salted caramel one. It's really good.
It's all the rage now. Yeah, Jen puts salt on everything that exists.
I know. I hope I can do that forever. I mean, because, you know, when you get older, you're not supposed to have a lot of salt.
Yeah.
I'm really scared of that day when some doctor says you need to cut back on your salt intake.
I love salt, too.
You guys, literally, if we go to a restaurant, before she even tastes the food, she salts it.
Well, why am I going to waste my time?
But what do you, so many restaurants don't even have salt shakers on. Oh, you know, it's like almost like offensive to the chef. So what do you do there?
I say, oh, can I have some salt, please? I can't eat without salt. I don't want to. I can, but I don't want to. I like just like everything salty.
How are you not swollen all the time?
I don't know. My body's like adjusted
so
to
used
it.
To it.
I guess it's what makes me so salty, so ornery. Oh, my salt.
Oh, wait, the stuff will uncover.
Did you know that Kelly's middle name was Marlene? I didn't know that until I watched the show.
I did not know that.
I don't know why, but I feel like that was for me because my sister's middle name is Marlene. Camille Marlene. She's going to kill me. That's my sister's name. So maybe I was
it's
like,
a beautiful name, Marlene Dietrich.
Marlene. Like, it's a beautiful name.
Very old school, like film noir type of name.
Kelly Marlene Taylor. I don't know. It's just a little.
That one doesn't flow, but.
That's not beautiful.
KMT.
And the game they were playing was called Skeletons in the Closet. I felt like that was more like murderers in the living room or something, or assholes in the living room. Like, what a game. That game was really vicious. Worse than Truth or Dare or Never Have I Ever.
Yeah, what would our version be that we would have in real life?
I feel like it would be Truth or Dare. But
yeah, it's
there
kind
were
of
no
like
dare.
But all truth.
Yeah.
Just truth or truth.
It's not a fun game.
No.
No.
And this was an emotional scene that you had to do, Jenny.
Yeah, that was my first. Well, we did the episode with the mom, with my mom all coked out, that the fashion show episode. That was kind of emotional too.
This
but this one was
scene.
The first time where it was like, I remember shooting this scene actually, and like the pressure that I felt as a person, an actress, like, because they set up this like, it was like a rat. We had like the dolly was going around all the girls sitting in a circle. And so it was like a big elaborate setup, and there was that really super slow push in. So it was very detail oriented, and then, you know, having to get everything with the focus just right. And I didn't want to, you know, blow my performance on the first take and like not be able to do it again. Cause I was really ready to do it when it was time to film that scene. And, thank God. I think that was just like a one take wonder. That was one of those scenes where I just remember that push in was all one take, and I think it was the first take.
Sometimes the first takes are always the best.
Because
it's genuine. And it was so close on your little face and your tear. And like, it's like heartbreaking. And the bangs just could, subtly move. And
who knew I could time a tear just perfectly?
You guys, she's the best on-screen crier ever.
Oh, don't you jinx are. It. Don't jinx sorry, it. What sorry. If I have to do it again?
Then how do you do it? Do you go? What do you think about?
I mean, everybody's different, right? I mean, I've always thought, I always think like I'm kind of weird when I do it, but maybe this is how other people do it too. Like I get in that headspace before the scene ever happens. Like I'm kind of in that zone of like,
okay,
on the edge of my emotions that whole day. And then when you do it, it's just like you got to just step into that person's shoes and forget all about anything else.
Tori? I'm not a good on-screen crier. I'm not a big crier in real life. Like, I don't know. I repress my emotions a lot.
I've seen you cry maybe twice.
Really? Yeah. It's so weird. I've gotten over it, but I remember like one time someone was like, it's okay to cry. And I was like, crying's a sign of weakness.
I was like, I think you said that to me.
Oh, possibly.
As you were crying about something?
Like, it's okay to cry. I don't know why I think that either. I don't know. It's a weird thing. But crying on screen is even harder for me. Like, they always, when I had to really cry, they always had to bring in the blower. Now, what is the blower, what you guys say? Blower? That's what you we got, called
she
it.
Had to get blowed.
They had to blow me. It's this little plastic thing that has menthol in it.
Like crystals, little crystals of menthol.
And when they blow it, basically menthol just shoots into your eyes and so you cry.
Burns your retina, basically. Just
remember we were discussing on BH90210, we think we've had the blower so many times in our lives that something it messed our eyes up.
Yeah, I can barely see now and I blame it all on the menthol blower.
Because there were times when we were like young that they wouldn't even like, they would just be like, they wouldn't even say, can you get there? Like, can you get there emotionally? They'd just be like, for this scene, like it's a close up. We need tears. Fly in the blower and like
bring make, in the blower.
Run bring in and just like blower.
In your eyes.
And the person, you're like,
what?
The person
and
like
in action.
Right in your face. Like they're like
so close, you guys. Face. It burns so bad.
They're blowing their corona right into your eyeballs.
Basically. I can't. Maybe that's why we're both blind. Maybe that's why we need glasses. Who can we talk to about this?
Yep. Is it too late? Yeah. I am like shooketh. I can't believe it.
Imagine you're being
me
a teenage girl and like fly in the blower and they like just like.
Oh, and it was so embarrassing too. Like if there ever was a scene, like maybe you did a great first take or maybe you couldn't cry, maybe that you just weren't getting there emotionally. It was so embarrassing because they would literally shout it out and then you would feel like such a failure.
Always. I always felt that way because I had a hard time crying and put on the spot. I definitely couldn't. So every time that came in, I was like, oh my God, they're all thinking,
everybody
not
knows I suck.
Look at the boss's daughter. She can't even cry on
cue.
She can't
even cry.
No. That is so interesting.
The little behind the scenes secrets.
Oh, see, this is the stuff we love because I would never know anything like that existed.
I meant my eyes are literally tearing up as we're talking. Just talking about it, my eyes have PTSD.
That's what we've talked about. She has watery eyes, like fact, always. That's where it came from. We thought maybe it was attributed to the blower from years and years that they would just make you do. Like you now have just watery eyes.
Maybe it's just because they put Kelly through so many emotional things that my, like, I just cry all the time now because of it.
The good news is there's a thing out there, and like, I never would have known this, but it's all over social media. They talk about bad, ugly criers. Mm-hmm. Like, they always say, like, Kim Kardashian is an ugly crier. Me, when I read all this, I'm like, oh, now I know what they're talking about. I'm an ugly crier. Jenny Garth, pretty crier.
I don't know that you're an ugly crier. I wouldn't say you're an ugly crier at all. I think it's beautiful when you cry because you're finally letting your emotions out instead of trying to control them. Like, it's beautiful.
Thank you. But this thing they do, just like last week we talked about Wiki Feet, they have feet pictures of celebrities. They have crying pictures of celebrities. Yeah. So they go back to moments when you're like hysterically crying or something. And they pause it right when you do like a big like, and it's an ugly cry, they call it. But like you, You could have frozen on any frame of that whole monologue and it was a pretty cry.
Why, thanks.
So yay you.
Thanks a lot.
As an actor, are you aware of that when they're filming that? Like, you're like, please don't do an ugly cry face. Like, you're trying not to, or do you just get into it?
I mean, no, yeah. I don't think about what I look like when I'm crying. Hopefully you're not thinking about what you look like when you're crying, because then you're not really
in the moment. Well, in real life, I know you don't, but if you're filming it, what do you think?
No. Like, if you're thinking about that, you're in trouble.
Then you're not going to be crying. Like, if you're thinking how do I look right in this moment, then you're probably not going to be able to cry. But Kelly was talking about Ross Weber.
Ross, mm-hmm. Was that his name? Yep. Ross Weber. What a name.
He's the guy. So we always kind of alluded to the fact that she was raped by that guy, but.
Right.
I feel like.
But she didn't want it that way. Because then she's like, he didn't even put down a blanket. Like, she's still traumatized by it.
She just had hoped it would have been a better scenario.
I think that happens a lot for girls. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have, such big expectations and hopes.
I wanted my first time to be really special because of 90210. Like, because
are you serious?
Brenda and Dylan's was so special. Like, mine needs to be after some sort of dance as well. Oh, and it was. I'm turning red.
Oh, you're I've never seen you turn red. She is turning 50 shades of red.
It's so dumb. And it's so true. It was after homecoming night.
Mm-hmm.
You
do tell.
Girl.
Tell more.
Oh, man. You have Brenda and Dylan to thank.
Well, we talk about Ross Weber later, though, when we go. Because I feel like we revisit him at some point in the show's history later.
And it's interesting, when we first talked about this, we thought it was John Sears was your first. And then we realized it wasn't John Sears. It was Ross Weber.
Mm-hmm. What about when Donna's like, I'm sorry, I don't have more problems. That's my favorite. So cute.
It was cute.
I felt like Donna
was
like,
I was clearly, I was really into that moment and a good actress in that scene, because clearly I have a lot of problems. So I was acting.
No, I felt like Donna was like, this was the first episode where we really got to see Donna be
Where
Donna,
she spoke.
Who she, no, but like fun and sort of goofy and just like really good hearted,
innocent.
Mm-hmm. I felt like this was the episode that was like, oh, this is the Donna we're going to now grow and love as the show goes forward.
I had fun in that episode. I felt really accepted. Not that I hadn't already been accepted by you guys, but I felt on screen a part of the group.
Mm-hmm. And I also thought it was interesting, this sort of foreshadowing of Kelly, Brenda, Dylan issues, which I had totally forgotten that was ever that had ever happened before.
Me too.
Like, I guess Kelly admitted that she was trying to get with him.
Mm-hmm.
But that was before Brenda. So why does she get so mad at her? This was before Brenda even moved there.
No, but then she says she tried to get a date with him after she realized that Dylan was into Brenda.
What?
I thought it was...
I didn't get
she
that.
She said it was before Brenda ever moved there.
Kelly tried to ask Dylan out after Brenda started going out with him. That's why Brenda got so mad.
Oh.
On camera? Or like, is this like we're making up stuff now? Like,
no, you know, no, what I mean? What do you mean? This is what Kelly said at the slumber party.
This is what she said. I don't... Well, I thought it was like she said it was before. And then I was like, that's why
she did say that as well. So she started off by saying, I have a confession to make. I tried to go out on a date with Dylan after you were interested with him. And it's because... we had flirtatious vibes back when we were freshmen.
Well, how come we never saw that on camera?
Well, it wasn't on camera, but it was just part of the story.
That would have been something good to be on camera if Kelly actually had asked him out after Brenda. I don't know.
Well, that's coming, so.
Do you think the writers already knew, like, that this was going to happen?
I doubt it, because there's another thing that someone told me about that Brenda says when she's doing the Ouija board, she says, I don't know anyone that's dead. And then later in the series, you find out that her aunt is dead. She's had an aunt that died from cancer. So I feel like they're just winging this, writing it as they go, making it up.
It's interesting that they never fact check stuff, you know, like, oh, I mean, right, it's easy to go back and be like, hey, this is the name we used. Yeah. In mm-hmm. first season, we did say, like, I don't know.
Did you ever do a Ouija board, though?
I'm a huge fan of the Ouija.
You are.
Do you think they work?
I feel like I've tried to get you to do Ouija and you don't like it.
They kind of freak me out, but I don't. Is it real? Do they work? Has it?
Maybe. I did the Ouija board once and we asked a question, and you know when it moves to like yes, no, and then goodbye, right. And it kept saying goodbye, and we're like, no, we just want to talk to you. Are you a friendly spirit? And literally the little, what is it? Not a mouse, but the little, what is it? Right. Controller
doohickey. Thing,
the doohickey rose up, and then the whole board and the doohickey flew across the room and hit the room.
No, come on.
Hit the side of the wall. Swear to God. I was 9 years old when this happened and was doing it with a friend. And it wasn't like she like moved it. Like, I know you can push it with your fingers and stuff. This whole thing flew against the wall. And I've heard so many people tell stories like that. I feel like it can be real.
Was this in your house?
It was in my house. It was in my breakfast room.
Do you think it happened? It was haunted?
No. Maybe. We should do Ouija one night. And we should also do that thing where it's like, light as a feather, stiff as a board. Light as a feather, stiff as a board. Isn't that what you do at slumber parties?
Light as a feather, stiff as a board.
Yes. And we could be like white witches and do like, do spells. Anyway. I digress. Back to the episode. What about Andrea admitting that she loves Brandon?
Yeah, well.
Duh.
That would be obvi.
Us. Mm-hmm. To the viewers, but not to the gang. Now they know.
Right. Well, I don't know. I just feel like all that teenage girl drama and all the fights and that like whole like explosion of catty. It made me never want to go back to that age again. Like I loved watching the slumber party. Super fun. But then when it started fighting and getting real, it's like I'm out.
Well, there was the whole other storyline of Brandon and Steve that we haven't touched on.
Oh, yes.
Which we definitely need to get to because we have a few guests.
We have two friends coming on.
Uh-huh.
So Julie McCullough is coming on and Judy Aronson is coming on. And we're so excited to have them right after this. Judy.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
You guys all grew up. Look at you.
Talk about two beauties that don't age. What the heck?
Exactly the same.
Exactly.
You guys look exactly the same, just a little bit older, because I always thought of you as so much younger than me.
Were we younger?
Okay, so I thought of myself as younger than you too, only because I was such a super fan of Weird Science, and that was in the 80s, and now you look younger than me. Like, what happened?
No, but thank you. But I've seen you guys on different things that you've done through the years. Congratulations, by the way, to both of you.
Thank you.
And I've known, like, you guys are just so vibrant and so beautiful. It's really nice to see you.
It's nice to see you. You did such a great job in that scene with Brandon and Steve and the nightclub girls. Hello.
A lot of fun.
You guys were so sexy. I know. We didn't even get to work with you.
Mm-mm.
But I remember you guys coming into the makeup trailer.
Were we nice? Yeah,
you were very, very nice to us.
You never know. Like, that was always a thing. We wanted guest stars to feel included because it's hard going on to someone else's set. We both have done it and it's not always friendly. And you're like, yikes, there's Julie.
Hi, Julie. Hi. We have Julie with us too.
Hi, girls.
So you guys played Trina and Shelley. So you guys were friends before you were cast as these two friends.
Wait, and you both just happened to get the part as friends on the show? That's so random.
Yeah. Well, we weren't, I don't think we were really good friends. Like, we weren't hanging out a lot together.
No, we just knew each other.
It was two other people that would be together. But then we really became good friends after 90210.
That's so cool. And Julie, you went on to go and be in work with Ian again later in life, didn't you?
I did. How funny was that?
That's so great.
Sharknado.
Wait, which one?
I did the first one. And okay. then I did another one that was a mockumentary of Sharknado called Sharknado Heart of Sharkness. It was like a mockumentary done. So I've been in two of them.
Oh, so fun.
I know. And Ian posted a picture of us and is like, you know, X amount of years later, Steve's getting his Corvette back or trying to get his Corvette back. It was just hilarious, the photo and that he posted of us. It was so funny. That was my first time working with him since then.
So did you know how to drive that car or did they have to teach you? Was it like a real stick shift or was it automatic?
No, it was fake. It was all fake. It was automatic. I was having to fake that I didn't know how to drive it. It was actually an automatic.
You strike Thank me God. As a girl that knows how to drive a stick shift, so I'm going to go.
No, actually, I don't. I've tried, but no, I don't. And I need to know how to do it.
I'll teach you. Come on over.
I went to Afghanistan, and that was the one thing. A lot of the equipment in Afghanistan was all stick shift stuff. Man, I kept thinking, man, if we get like trapped or road bum, I'm in deep dirt for not knowing how to do a stick shift, you know? Seriously.
So I got to say, for 80s and 90s television, I always say Jenny wore the bang best. But second to her, Julie McCullough wore the bang best.
Those
you really
were some
did.
Good blonde bangs.
Yep. You always had good bangs.
Yeah, and like so straight and like perfect. Mm-hmm.
You guys, she still has them.
Do you still have them?
I do, but my hair is so yucky right now. I'm just wearing my cap.
She's hiding it.
I keep telling Jen all the time to bring her bangs back. That's my dream, is for her to bring her bangs back.
Sis, should we play rapid fire with them?
Favorite character on Beverly Hills 90210? Don't feel obligated to pick Kelly.
Yeah, we have thick skin. Don't worry.
We aren't even our favorite characters, so...
Let's see. Who's my favorite?
Well, we got to go with Luke, you know? Come on.
Dylan. You know, Luke. Everyone's, yep.
Dylan's character. Everybody's favorite just about, you know?
Yeah.
Because he was like the Fonzie of 90210. Like,
true. Bad boy, that's a great way to describe him.
I was so bummed he wasn't on our episode.
I know he wasn't on that episode at all, which was weird.
No. We only had scenes with, you know, Ian and Jason. We didn't get scenes with you girls or anything. Mm-hmm.
Did either of them flirt with you guys?
Yeah, off camera. Come on.
Spill the tea.
Well, actually, I had already played Jason's girlfriend in a different show he was on before that called Sister Kate.
I love Sister
you,
Kate.
Let me
so
just
much.
Tell you, though, you and Jason looked extremely connected whilst in that convertible.
That two-seater.
You guys, it was 30 years ago, so tell us.
Actually, he did me a really good solid. And this was before he was really famous. I was screen testing for an Italian movie, and they had me shoot here. And do you guys know who Nick Cassavetes is?
Mm-hmm.
So this is before Nick was known, and they were good friends, and I was friends with them all. And so I needed a guy to do a love scene with me. So Nick decided to direct this audition scene for me for this Italian screen test.
Whoa.
You had to like audition the love scene. You had
a love scene for this Italian, it was Italy. Come on.
They like it.
Yeah. Wait, it wasn't a Nick Cassavetes movie. He just did you the favor and like filmed it and directed it for you. And Jason Priestley played your love interest in it.
Yeah.
What the hell is going on?
And we were rolling around here in my bed, Jason and I.
Oh.
Nick Cassavetes, who had never shot anything. So I can actually say, so can Jason, that we were in Nick Cassavetes' very first film.
Wait, I want to see that footage. That's what I want to see.
I've got to find that. I've got to find it.
I knew I saw a strong connection between you two.
No, we never had anything.
And then after our show, Julie, you went on to do, did you do Growing Pains before our show or
before.
After?
Before.
Before, right?
Before.
I remember you on that show. So adorable.
Yeah. I was doing Growing Pains when I did 90210. I was still on it.
Wait, Julie, you didn't answer if Ian or Jason flirted with you. Sorry.
They both did.
No, they didn't. No, many years later, I actually dated one of them briefly.
One of them?
Many years.
Bury the headline.
Wait,
which one?
I don't know about that, Jules.
Which one?
We just haven't never talked about it. I mean, it was kind of public. We went out to quite a few public places together. And we even rescued a dog together.
Who? You haven't said who yet.
It was Jason. I went out with a few dates with Jason.
Wait a minute. You know. But I knew you were good friends with his sister, and you were also
Justine. I'm still friends with Justine. I even know Jason's mama.
Wow, this is good.
This is great.
I've known her all these years and had no idea.
I've been on doggy dates. You know, we all dated. We were single. It was, you know, freaking a long time ago. It was before I got married. And anyway, and now I'm divorced. So I should have stuck it out with somebody else, like Jason.
Hey, Jules, isn't he a good kisser?
I'm not telling.
No, it's.
I'll tell you. He was a great kisser.
I'm allowed to tell because mine was just on film. So I'm allowed to.
Wait, I have a question. Oh my God, I'm so excited right now, Tor. Okay, I'm talking to two other women. Well, maybe more than two.
Oh my God. I know what she's going to say.
She's throwing you in there, Tor.
Wait. When you kiss him, does his jaw pop? Did you ever hear a jaw popping sound? Like TMJ sound. You know the sound. The TMJ sound.
Oh my gosh. I don't remember.
I thought for sure you could share in that with me. I'm really disappointed right now.
I think you had to kiss him a lot more than I did.
Probably, but oh man.
Wait, so there were four of us here that kissed him?
Yeah, sis, didn't you make up with Jason?
No. I may have taken a spin class from his wife, though, over at the sweatshop. But you
that's not the same.
That's not the same. Nope. Listen, we were young, and we were all single, and that was the group we were around. We were allowed to date whoever we wanted to. And I don't like it when people judge. Oh, you went out with this person. You went out. So what? We were single. And
exactly.
We were sleeping all together. You know,
at least not at once.
It's just, you know.
Wait, you guys, we have to, we play this with everyone. We have to play Kiss, Marry, or Kick to the Curb. I always forget. It's in character, not character. In character.
Characters of Beverly Hills 90210.
The boys.
Kiss them.
Who would you kiss? Kiss, Marry, or Kick to the Curb.
Or the girls. Hey, it's 2021.
Why not? Yeah.
Okay. I would kiss David. I would marry Jim or Ian.
So Steve Sanders, Ian plays Steve Sanders. Okay, so you'd kiss David, marry Steve Sanders, and who would you kick to the curb?
Shannon.
You'd kick Brenda to the curb. Okay, fair enough.
Nice.
And scene.
All right.
Yeah.
Julie, you're
Julie?
Up.
Julie?
I hope you're prepared.
Just the character, not her.
Yes, yeah. Of course.
If Judy's going to kick Brenda to the curb, then I guess I'd probably have to marry Brenda because I like Brenda. And I would, I've already kissed Steve, so he'd have to be kicked to the curb. And, and of course, you know, since I've already done it in real life, you know, Jason all the way would have to be kiss.
Everyone always wants to kiss that dreamboat. It's the eyes.
You guys, thanks for playing our stupid game with us.
Well, what about you guys?
We've already done it. We played, yeah.
Yeah, but haven't heard it. So maybe for your audience, you can re-announce who you would kiss, marry, or kick to the curb.
Actually, you know what? I think, Jen, in all fairness, Sis was right. It's 2021. Girls can be included. So let's do kiss, marry, and kick to the curb with us picking female characters.
Sure. Okay. Okay.
This is fun.
I would kiss Donna because you have big, beautiful lips and I want to kiss them.
You have a lip obsession.
Doesn't she just have beautiful lips?
Yeah.
And I would marry Andrea because I know she's a really good cook. Mm-hmm. She could just cook for me. And then I would, oh, but I don't want to, I'd kick Kelly to the curb. I just kick myself right to the curb. You go.
Wait, Andrea's a good cook?
Well, in real life.
We're not playing real life. I knew you were switching from.
I crossed it over.
You can't do that. You're not playing by the rules.
But I think Andrea was definitely the most domestic out of everyone.
Thank you.
We could assume she was a good cook.
She's a great cook.
She's the most sensible. So she would have made it make a great wife.
There you go.
And she became president.
That would make me the sec. What's it called when I'd be the second Lotus. Wife? No, I'd be, yeah.
Lotus.
I'd be Lotus.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Character only. I would kiss. I'm probably going to say Kelly because I feel like I kissed Shannon in real life. So that wouldn't. No, like in fun, girls, like.
Kelly's just so pretty.
Wait a second.
You know when you have like girls' nights out and you're like drunk and the boys are like kiss, and you're at a bar and you kiss. Like I've kissed Shannon in real life. I've kissed Tiffany. I've kissed Lindsay. I've kissed Kathleen.
Like a peck?
No, like a kiss, but like in front of people. Like when guys are like, "I dare you, truth or dare. I dare you to kiss." You know.
I feel like we've kissed before, too.
Do you think we have? I feel like we've never kissed. I feel like you and I have never kissed.
Jenny's offended that you don't remember her kiss.
No, but she... So, no, I've watched her kiss many a time on TV, and I think she looks like a really good kisser. So I would pick Kelly to kiss, Andrea to marry, because then maybe for once my finances would be in order. And I guess I would have to kick Brenda to the curb, but for no other reason than... just what I said.
You've already had her.
Yeah.
You've already had her.
You still got it, girls, for sure.
You really do.
You're both so beautiful. And thank you for coming on our show and playing with us and being so just honest and fun and making us laugh.
Oh, you guys are great. Thank you. Congratulations on all this.
Thanks, guys. Love you so much.
Thank you.
All our
so
love
much.
To you guys.
Thank you so much for having us. Bye.
Bye.
Well, we're back. And, you know, before we get into some questions from the listeners, there were some one-liners from this episode that were pretty good. The 9021, no, you didn't. Best lines from the episode. BNJ, before nose job, was explained by Amanda.
She says that to Kelly. That's a good one.
Is that a thing?
I've never heard that before.
Well, no. I guess you guys are asking me because I'm the only one who's had a nose job here.
Did anyone ever say that to you?
Nope, but I'm going to start using that one now. It's good.
It's a good one.
Yeah.
Did you have a favorite line, Tor?
I did like I'm sorry for not having more problems because it's so Donna and yet so not Tori. So I like that one.
Yes. It was good. It was definitely memorable. Mine would have to be when Amanda says, "Come on, Brenda, anyone who can't think up one secret is either lying or a total zero."
I like that.
I don't know, just the total zero part, really.
Yeah.
I really liked it.
All right, we have some questions from two listeners. This is from Shell. She says, "Ladies, when did you realize the show was a big hit? What season were you in when you realized you had some job security?"
Job security makes me laugh. Just the term.
But
I never have job security.
Ever. In the entertainment industry,
no.
You're only as good as your last job. And your last job could be over tomorrow.
That's like so you never scary.
It's so random. Yeah.
I mean, when they started booking us out to appearances and they would send us to malls, not you, Tor, because that you weren't allowed to travel. But
have we discussed that?
Yeah.
Why not?
We got sent, like, as a cast, they would send two of us, three of us out to malls all across America. Sent us to Israel, sent us to Italy, all these amazing.
Like, you rode on a float in Israel, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. She never got to go anywhere or do any of these things.
So I never realized, you guys, and I was too scared to ask, but for 10 years, until I was like in the very like last couple years, I started like getting approached for offers and doing my own thing. But before that, I was like, I guess my character's not popular enough. I never get asked to do these mall appearances. I never get sent anywhere. And I was too scared to bring it up because I was so embarrassed and mortified that like I was the least popular character on the show. And come to find out years later, it was because my dad, once I was underage, like he didn't want me traveling. He was like scared for me. So he said, don't ever give Tori an appearance.
Oh, you're so cute. She thought it was her fault.
But then you weren't underage. And it just
And then it
over.
Still happened. I guess it was just like a known thing, like with PR. Like if it comes through 90210 PR, don't send Tori or don't give her the offer. I don't know. I don't even know where it comes from. The only reason I knew I was popular is because like in the last 2 years, remember we did that appearance? It was me and Jen and it came through your manager. And it was like all these like fans came over from Japan. And we got to like, yes. Remember we had like our wardrobe and they were all like crying and they got to like meet us with a whole audience of them. And then I was like,
loved it.
And then I remember thinking like, oh, I was so grateful to your manager. I was like, thank you. I never get booked for appearances. And he was like, huh? And that's when I put two and two together. Yeah.
That's so interesting. All right. So it was when the appearances started happening and you were like, wow, we're kind of big.
And for me,
happening.
For me, and it wasn't until second season, you guys, like first season, the show wasn't that popular.
Right.
And for me, it was, I remember I was at the Century City Westfield, now Westfield Mall, and I was on an escalator and someone was screaming Donna. And I was like, oh, that's funny. That's my character's name. There's a Donna. And then my friend's like, no, dummy. They're screaming at you. And it was like this group of girls. That's like my first visual.
That happens when that just happened to me last weekend.
Really?
I wasn't at the mall or anything, but I was skiing and I was getting a beer from the beer place or whatever on the top of the mountain. And there was like a good size crowd of people that I was trying to avoid getting anywhere near. And I was walking away with my little beers and someone was like, Kelly. And I just kept walking. Just kept walking. So scared. Wait.
No, you need to turn around and acknowledge them and say hi.
No, but she's talking about really like scared. It's scary now with COVID, like groups and stuff. And she just like, if I keep walking, they won't even know if I heard or didn't. And maybe it wasn't me. Maybe it was a different Kelly,
maybe
right?
Maybe it was somebody named Kelly.
Maybe. Probably not.
Well, that would be more embarrassing.
I don't know. What's the next question?
Sis? Did you have your mask on?
Yes, I was in full ski.
That's impressive that they recognized you with the mask on.
Wow.
You'd be surprised. One more. It's from Amy. She says, my BFF and I watched the show from the beginning to end and always identified with Donna and Kelly. We've been besties for 30 years as well. And no matter what, I know we'll always be together. How have you, Tori and Jenny, stayed friends over the years as both of your worlds have changed and evolved? What's the secret to your success?
Aw. It's kind of cute. Let's see. We often have talked about this because obviously we have other friends in our lives that come and go. And we think it's pretty unique to be able to have that one friend that when, you know, we were both friends in our teens and 20s with other people. And then sometimes your worlds change and you get married, you have kids and you're like, oh, you know, I love them, but my life's changed and we've gone different ways. And Jen and I, no matter what has happened, we seem to just grow together. I think communication's big too. Like we're able to, why are you laughing at that? Like we're able to now in our 40s be able to be like, I'm mad at you. Here's why I'm mad. And like say it. Or here's what's bothering me. Like I think when you're younger, sometimes you like don't talk about things and then things get worse and then you grow apart. Like we've kind of, and we have this like language between us. What are you thinking right now?
No, I'm freaking just thinking out. Like you have to have a really strong foundation. Something has got to really unite two people in a unique way to get them to have a very lasting relationship. Because like you said, there's so many people in this world and so many people that come in and out of each of our lives. But the bond that we have just from that
being locked in a warehouse for 10 years,
being kidnapped for those 10 years, really solidified. We always joke and say, you're stuck with me.
Seriously, like if I have to think of like one person when I'm like in my 80s or 90s, like sitting next to, it'd be her.
I cannot wait.
It's not going to be pretty, but it's going to be ours.
Literally, I hang in there with you because I want to get to that. Like that's the good stuff.
You're going to be doing each other's makeup and brushing each other's hair.
Uh-huh. In the rockers.
That like one person that's just like, that looks terrible, take it off. Or you look great. Like, there's no jealousy or competition between us. I think that's key. With females, like, I think a lot of us are unwilling to admit or don't even know on a surface level that there is that lying beneath, because we all want to think that, you know, women support women and we have each other's backs, but sometimes it's not always the case. But like, she's the one person that she can say anything to me and someone else might say it and it would piss me off. But when she says it, I'm like, okay, yeah, you're right. I shouldn't have worn that. You're right. Or like, you know, and or I know because I know she's doing it. Yeah, I'll argue. I have to argue with you, but I know deep down she's right because I know she wholeheartedly has my back no matter what.
Yeah.
I noticed that right away when I met you guys. I think the first time that and by the way, anybody listening, we've only met on Zoom because of COVID. I've never actually been in a room with the two of you, but I did notice when we sat down to record the promos for the podcast before it even aired, the first thing that I think Jenny did was like adjust your boobs in your dress and like... tell you that,
and I'll lick my fingers and flatten her hair and like
yeah.
Like, oh well, yeah, they are besties.
We always have each other's back for sure. I was thinking that, Sissany, when we were talking earlier, we haven't even met you in real life, but I feel like if we did, we would just laugh the whole time. Like we just make each other laugh.
You guys have been very welcoming. I feel like I've been friends with you for 30 years as well.
Seriously. Oh, I can't wait till we can all have drinks together. Gosh.
Amen.
Well, I've had so much fun hanging out with you guys. I want to remind all of our listeners, though, to definitely get your tickets if you haven't already to come to our live virtual podcast, which is coming up this week on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. And be there, be square.
Tickets are available. You can get them at onlocationlive.com/90210MG.
And also check out our Instagram at 90210MG podcast because it's fun. Because it's fun.
Yeah. Oh, and give us 5 stars. We love stars.
We're always like, please give us the stars.
Just give us 5 stars.
No, but do keep your comments, keep your suggestions coming. We do read that stuff and we do listen to it and it matters. Mm-hmm. So we love to hear from you and we want to know what you think.
Yeah, it matters. We're offended, but then we adjust, you know.
Yeah, it hurts. I'm it not going to lie. But... The mean things you guys say sometimes, you know who you are. I know exactly who you are, by the way. but then after the hurt comes the growth. So, growth. There you go.
Always down to grow. Oh, well, this homework assignment is actually very short because you have to watch this next episode by Wednesday.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I don't have enough time.
There's enough time. We could do it.
Okay. Watch the next episode.
Love. That's guys. It. Bye.
Bye-bye.